Before we take a look at sports and baseball this afternoon at the Republican National Convention, speaking right now is Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. Heidi and I are so honored to join you here in Cleveland, where LeBron James just led an incredible comeback victory. And I am convinced America is going to come back too. I want to congratulate Donald Trump on winning the nomination last night. And like each of you, I want to see the principles that our party believes prevail in November. Conventions are times of excitement, but given the events of the last few weeks, I hope you'll allow me a moment to talk to you about what's really at stake. Just 2 weeks ago, a 9-year-old girl named Caroline was having a carefree Texas summer, swimming in the pool, playing with friends, doing all the things a happy child might do. Like most children, she relied upon the love that she received from her mom, Heidi, and her dad, a police sergeant named Michael Smith. That is, until he became one of the 5 police officers gunned down in Dallas. The day her father was murdered, Caroline gave him a hug and a kiss as he left for work. But as they parted, her dad asked her something he hadn't asked before. What if this is the last time you ever kiss or hug me? Later, as she thought of her fallen father and that last heartbreaking hug, Caroline broke down into tears. How could anything ever be okay again? Michael Smith was a former Army Ranger who spent 3 decades with the Dallas Police Department. I have no idea who he voted for in the last election or what he thought about this one. But his life was a testament to devotion. He protected the very protesters who mocked him because he loved his country and his fellow man. His work gave new meaning to that line from literature, "To die of love is to live by it." As I thought about what I wanted to say tonight, Michael Smith's story weighed on my heart. Maybe that's because his daughter, Caroline, is about the same age as my eldest daughter and happens to share the same name. Maybe it's because I saw a video of that dear, sweet child choking back sobs as she remembered her daddy's last question to her. Maybe it's because we live in a world where so many others have had their lives destroyed by evil, in places like Orlando and Paris and Nice and Baton Rouge. Maybe it's because of the simple question itself. What if this, right now, is our last time? Our last moment to do something for our families and our country? Did we live up to the values we say we believe? Did we do all we really could? That's really what elections should be about. That's why you and millions like you devoted so much time and sacrifice to this campaign. We're fighting not for one particular candidate or one campaign, but because each of us wants to be able to tell our kids and grandkids, our own Carolines, that we did our best for their future and our country.
You're listening to Texas Senator Ted Cruz speaking at the Republican National Convention.
America is more than just a landmass between two oceans. America is an ideal, a simple yet powerful idea. Freedom matters. For much of human history, government power has been the unavoidable constant in life. Government decrees, and the people obey. But not here. We have no king or queen. We have no dictator. We, the people, constrain government. Our nation is exceptional because it was built on the five most beautiful and powerful words in the English language. I want to be free. Never has that message been more needed than today. We stand here tonight, a nation divided. Partisan rancor, anger, even hatred are tearing America apart. And citizens are furious, rightly furious, at a political establishment that cynically breaks its promises and that ignores the will of the people. We have to do better. We owe our fallen heroes more than that. Now, of course, Obama and Clinton will also tell you that they care about our children's future. And I want to believe them. But there is a profound difference in our two parties' vision for the future. Theirs is the party that thinks ISIS is a JV team, that responds to the death of Americans at Benghazi by asking, what difference does it make? And that thinks it's possible to make a deal with Iran, which celebrates as holidays Death to America Day and Death to Israel Day. My friends, this is madness. President Obama is a man who does everything backwards. He wants to close Guantanamo Bay and open up our borders. He exports jobs and imports terrorists. Enough is enough. And I am here to tell you there is a better vision for our future, a return to freedom. On education, your freedom to choose your child's education, even if you aren't as rich as Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. On health care, your freedom to choose your own doctor without Obamacare. on taxes, your freedom to provide for your family without the IRS beating down your door. The internet, keep it free from taxes, free from regulation, and don't give it away to Russia and China. Freedom means free speech, not politically correct safe spaces. Freedom means religious freedom, whether you are Christian or Jew, Muslim or atheist. Whether you are gay or straight, the Bill of Rights protects the rights of all of us to live according to our conscience. Freedom means the right to keep and bear arms and to protect your family.
Again, you're listening to Texas Senator Ted Cruz speaking at the Republican National Convention.
Freedom means that every human life is precious and must be protected. Freedom means Supreme Court justices who don't dictate policy, but instead follow the Constitution. And freedom means recognizing that our Constitution allows states to choose policies that reflect local values. Colorado might decide something different than Texas. New York, different than Iowa. That's the way it's supposed to be. Diversity. If not, what's the point of having states to begin with? Now, Hillary Clinton believes that government should make virtually every choice in your life. Education, health care, marriage, speech, all dictated out of Washington. But something powerful is happening. We've seen it in both parties. We've seen it in the United Kingdom's unprecedented Brexit vote to leave the European Union. Voters are overwhelmingly rejecting the political establishment and overwhelmingly rejecting big government. That is a profound victory, and it is one earned by each and every one of you. People are fed up with politicians who don't listen to them, fed up with a corrupt system that benefits the elites instead of working men and women. We deserve an immigration system that puts America first and, yes, builds a wall to keep America safe. A government a government that stops admitting ISIS terrorists as refugees. We deserve trade policies that put the interest of American farmers and manufacturing jobs over the global interests that are funding the lobbyists. And if we stand together and choose freedom, our future will be brighter. Freedom will bring back jobs and raise wages. Freedom will lift people out of dependency to the dignity of work. We can do this. 47 years ago to this day, America put the very first man on the moon. That was the power of freedom. Our party, the Republican Party, was founded to defeat slavery. Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican president, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Together, we passed the Civil Rights Act, and together, we fought to eliminate Jim Crow laws. That's our collective legacy, although the media will never share it with you. Those were fights for freedom, and so is this. Sergeant Michael Smith stood up to protect our freedom. So do the soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines every day fighting radical Islamic terrorism. Did the family of Alton Sterley, who bravely called to end the violence. So did the families of those murdered at the Charleston Emanuel AME Church, who forgave that hateful, bigoted murderer. And so can we. We deserve leaders who stand for principle, who unite us all behind shared values, who cast aside anger for love. That is the standard we should expect from everybody. And to those listening, please don't stay home in November. If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution. appreciate the enthusiasm of the New York delegation. And I will tell you, it is love of freedom that has allowed millions to achieve their dreams. Like my mom, the first in her family to go to college, and my dad, who's here tonight, who fled prison and torture in Cuba, coming to Texas with just $100 sewn into his underwear. And it is love that I hope will bring comfort to a grieving 9-year-old girl in Dallas. And God willing, propel her to move forward and dream and soar and make her daddy proud. We must make the most of our moment to fight for freedom, to protect our God-given rights, even of those with whom we don't agree, so that when we are old and gray, and when our work is done, and we give those we love one final kiss goodbye, we will be able to say, freedom matters, and I was part of something beautiful. The case we have to make to the American people, the case each person in this room has to make to the American people, is to commit to each of them that we will defend freedom and be faithful to the Constitution. We will unite the party, we will unite the country by standing together for shared values, by standing for liberty. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless the United States of America.
So there you have it, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Justin, amid chants of endorse Trump on the floor of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Did not even utter Donald Trump's name one time.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
There's Trump walking in.
And Trump is there, and this is, I mean, this that's a great piece of American political history right there, Senator Ted Cruz. A great speech, and we'll talk about that speech with Chris Roebling and Charles Lipson, who are in studio with us now, listening intently to the speech. But man, oh man, goes out of his way to not say the words, Donald Trump. Chris? Well,
he defied the chanting of the New York delegation that was calling on him about 4 or 5 minutes before his wrap up to say, endorse Trump. And he said, I appreciate the enthusiasm of the New York delegation. I'm absolutely shocked.
I was shocked too. In fact, Chris and I were talking during the red meat portion of this, when he was just nailing every one of the red meat Republican positions, and said, this has to conclude with an endorsement. And we looked back at Ronald Reagan mm-hmm. in 1964, but especially in 1976, when he had fought against an incumbent, President Ford, and then at the convention got up and made a terrific speech endorsing Ford. That's what we thought would happen. It did not. That's big news.
Well, we will consider. I mean, we're going to have the news break here, and we'll get to Rob. We'll get the news stuff. But, I mean, this is – I mean, otherwise, and we'll talk about it after the news, just a tremendous speech for Ted Cruz, speaking to the conservatives in this country, getting to all the sort of the talking points and the issues at the heart of this campaign, not really uttering Hillary Clinton's name, staying away from that, the negative. There was a really good speech, but overshadowed by what will consider to be just petty politics.
Well, I don't know about petty. I mean, Trump spent 4 or 5 months calling him lying, Ted.
Yeah, that's what they always do.
It's tough to get over that stuff, obviously. But I want to say a couple of quick things. Number one, this puts Mike Pence right on a hot seat. Because he's got to come out after this.
I think Pence will endorse Trump.
I think that one, just call me crazy. We know for sure about that. But number two, you've got to be amazed that the Trump campaign allowed this guy to get up there without sealing that deal.
It's that energy, that feel of what we want from political conventions. We just got it.
Let me just tell you, it is really hard to win the presidency unless you win 90% of the votes in your own party. And Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, would love to kick him between the legs. But he's got to think really hard about what he's going to do, because there are a lot of people who they may or may not like Ted Cruz personally, but they agree with that speech.
That's Professor Charles Lipson, Chris Roebling also in studio. We'll take a break and we'll get to Rob Martire's news. We're covering the Republican National Convention and we're awaiting the speech from Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence. Stay with us here on WGN Radio. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We are covering the Republican National Convention. Wow, what a speech from Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas. Who lit up the floor of the Republican National Convention by not endorsing Donald Trump. He had the opportunity by the end of that otherwise pretty great conservative speech. The boos started to come on. The chanting started to overpower. And he unbelievably did not endorse Donald Trump. Didn't say Donald Trump's name. Chris Roebling, Charles Lipson in studio.
Hold on. He said Donald Trump's name when he congratulated him for winning the nomination. And he did that at the top.
Right.
And I thought for a second he might follow that up with an endorsement right there to just get it out of the way and get onto his meat. But that's not what happened.
Well, there are two ways to think about this. One is, what is Ted Cruz doing about his own future? Chris has a lot more friends who are tweeting in about this, and I would say they are extremely critical.
Well,
and,
Chris, let's go to that. I mean, what are you seeing? I mean,
Ted Cruz is a big disappointment. What happened? Here's another one. Great speech until he did not endorse Trump. This is a very profound one. He had his Reagan moment and he blew it.
That's what we were talking about before. Reagan lost and made his future by endorsing the man he lost
to. Right.
Yeah. Helene, a friend of mine, a great speech about freedom. Yes, but he had a huge opportunity to endorse and unite and he blew it. He proved he's not a team player. He's a sore loser. And I want to tell you, that's not a good moniker on the Republican side. I think that the Democrats are a lot more into folks going their own way, and they're a lot more forgiving. Republicans are not. They remember this stuff a long time, and they are not. You know, this is something that is going to be chalked up right there with Ted Cruz.
And he's not the only sore loser, right? There is Jeb Bush, who's not at the convention. There's Kasich, who's not at the convention. And we could go down the list.
Even the Mark Kirks and so, even the
and what does this mean? What does this mean? It means that the 90%+ that you need to get of the vote in your own party to be to have a really solid shot at winning in normal years, and Lord knows this isn't a normal year, but it's going to be very hard for Trump to get there. This will be hard on Cruz for the reasons that Chris stated, but the main game here is the presidency of the United States, and the issue here is how much does this hurt Donald Trump that Cruz did not endorse.
Charles Lipson, Chris Roebling in studio with us, and coming from Cleveland, who's at the Quicken Loan Arena, is Andrea Darlis from WGN Radio. She's covering the convention for all of us here. Andrea, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, yeah. I just actually stepped outside of the Quicken Loan Center after Ted Cruz spoke. Eric Plump is speaking right now. It got so loud in that concourse area. I stepped outside to talk to you guys, and I think it's I think it's louder actually out here on the street. I'm just, you know, I'm sure you've heard about the perimeter and the security here. It's absolutely crazy. There's so much security. There's so many people out. I'm kind of in an area across the street that I guess I would kind of compare it to our Rush Street.
Okay. All right.
In Chicago. People are out. They have monitors set up everywhere so we can still hear the speeches and watch everything. People are stopping to watch. There's, you know, there's a couple of protests tonight. But when I say that protest, I say that very loosely. I think there was maybe 12 people, and they were protesting. I didn't even know what they were protesting, quite honestly. Well, a couple actually stopped to take a picture with the police, which I thought was kind of nice in light of everything that's been going on.
Andrea, what happened when Ted Cruz did not endorse Trump?
What was it like in the hall?
It was, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I was on the floor earlier this evening, it was a celebratory, happy, fun mood. But, you know, as was the case last night, this really just kind of took a Hillary bashing tone. And that kind of set the stage. Everybody who spoke before Ted Cruz just continued with the Hillary bashing. And, you know, I know it's the GOP convention. The same thing's going to happen next week in Philadelphia, too. But, you know, this is very strange, a very strange convention because you are hearing boos. You know, I did hear boos a couple here and there when Ted Cruz votes approached and then when he finished as well. But that happened last night with Mitch McConnell, too. So, you know, I guess it's an equal opportunity booing going on.
Well, I've got somebody has posted a tweet from the Illinois delegation saying one of the delegates out there from Illinois, Cruz, is a disgrace. He should go back to Texas. I want to credit TTW with that because otherwise I wouldn't know.
But by the same token, you have Mark Kirk, who didn't go to the convention at all because he's so concerned that an endorsement would jeopardize his own election.
Do you find people, Andrea, do you find people there concerned about unity? Are people concerned about Trump getting his 90% out of the GOP base?
No, I think he's going to get it. I mean, the majority of the mood of the people that I spoke to, guys, was unity. I have to say, you know, you're going to get the naysayers and you're going to get the people who are anti-Trump or not happy with Trump. But overall, you know, the whole point and the whole message of the community, and I did talk with a couple members of the Illinois delegation as well. They were all, you know, they're to a point now, the convention's almost half over. They knew Trump was going to make an appearance tonight, which he is inside of the Q Center. He's listening to Eric speak right now. They say he's going to take the stage, but I don't think he's going to say anything. So we might just give Eric a hug or maybe introduce Mike Pence. I'm not quite sure at this point what he's going to do. But honestly, the mood overall is unity. You know, you get a couple of people with the attitude of, oh, well, yeah, he's our nominee, shrug, shrug, but it is what it is right now. And they're still preaching unity at this point, too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's I guess, what makes Ted Cruz so specific, because he seems to have gone out of step and with a great speech about freedom at the same time, by not endorsing Donald Trump or even making Donald Trump a focal point for his speech, he almost preaches a sort of division.
Andrea, this is Charles. Listen, let me ask you a question that's quite specific. It seems like what Trump wants to do in terms of winning is not the typical sort of purple state, let's go after Virginia, let's go after Colorado. Obviously, you have to win Ohio and Florida. But there's talk about a Rust Belt strategy, not including Illinois. What have you talked to these other Midwestern delegations? What are they saying? What are they saying their chances are in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question. Are you asking if they're going to not
do they? No. I'm sure they'll back. My question is, do they think they have a genuine chance at winning those states?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I mean, I spent a lot of time talking with people, but everybody I talked to, I was on the floor today. I was talking to the Illinois delegation. I was talking to the New Jersey delegation, talked to some folks from Wisconsin. You know, again, as I said before, they're really preaching unity and getting behind their nominee, whether they're happy about it or not. I don't think there's going to be any sort of an uprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that, by the way, that Scott Walker's speech was an excellent speech, and it
did too.
I'm glad to hear that. Why don't you say something about how the crowd reacted?
Scott Walker got a rousing rendition. They were thrilled with him. He did a whole portion. He stopped to thank the veterans, talked about, supporting the troops. There was a big rallying cry for that as well. I think he was very well received, Scott Walker. I enjoyed his speech.
And that "America deserves better" was a good line coming across and getting the crowd repeating it and so forth, I thought.
No, I agree.
Andre Darlis, WGN Radio, is covering the convention for us at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Andre, get in there. Get ready for Mike Pence.
All right, I'm going
sure
back in.
It's going to be good. We'll check in with you later in the show. Andre, thanks. It's good to talk to you. Take care. Andre Darlis live at the Republican National Convention.
Well, I just got to tell you, I mean, you get to a convention this year of unusual activities, unusual events. I mean, we've got the first woman candidate of a major party on the one hand, and we've got the first businessman with no official experience since Herbert Hoover on the other side. So it's a strange year, and now this. I mean, Reagan was furious about losing to Ford, and he was terribly disappointed about losing to Ford. He really thought he was going to be able to get that, and he wanted desperately to run against Jimmy Carter.
And there was an ideological division.
There was a huge ideological division, and it was the conservatives who wanted to return government to the people versus the establishment, which was Gerry Ford coming right out of Nixon and all of the Washington power brokers. And Reagan swallowed all of that. Now, Ford had not treated Reagan the way that Trump has treated Cruz.
Right.
Okay. But that's not going to be remembered by anybody. And Reagan went on. I believe that Reagan did good service to Ford in the fall. Others will take the position that Reagan sat on his hands and that he didn't campaign as much as he could have. So, but either way you come out on that, I'm just amazed that Cruz would make such a big impression with this speech and then leave the issue of the endorsement.
Chris Roebling, Charles Lipson in studio. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have more coverage at the Republican National Convention as we get ready for vice presidential candidate Mike Pence. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back to the download here. Donald Trump, the Illinois delegation, the 2016 Republican National Convention. Watch Mark Sapelson, WGN-TV News, bring you live coverage from Cleveland all this week. It's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman.
Newt Gingrich is pointing out a paragraph in the Ted Cruz speech attempting to ameliorate
really
the lack of endorsement.
Interesting.
Now,
let's see if we can get it up
so
there.
It obvious, and I'm sure that certainly was not planned. That certainly is not on the teleprompter.
So why,
that is
right.
Newt going off script to kind of replace
script.
That divot.
Wow. How about that? We have that. We can get to the speech, but give us a second to get that technically going here. But I mean, as you see, I mean, obviously this is planned. I mean, Calista Gingrich introduces Newt Gingrich. They're not doing that just to.
No. Newt has added that to his own speech.
He has.
And Newt also sounded a tone of unity because he recited all of the candidates from the primary who had actually accepted Trump's invitation to come to Cleveland and to speak. So like Governor Walker, Senator Rubio.
Right, right.
To people who are just tuning in, it's really important to understand this is a historic night. Nothing new or unexpected ever happens at conventions. And we just saw something.
And we're talking about, if you are just tuning in, Ted Cruz took the stage in a wonderful speech. I mean, a conservative speech. Both
Charles and Chris loved it.
I mean, it was pretty amazing to be in the room with two Republicans clapping and cheering for the speech. But it ended in a way that everyone felt he was going to turn it back to, and that's why we need Donald Trump. That's why we need the nominee. And as he got closer to the end of the speech, The boos started to come out, the delegation
people
from
yelling,
New York
endorse Trump,
and he refused to do it, and he left the stage without endorsing or even saying Donald Trump in the beginning of his speech.
Yeah, I mean, it is truly amazing, and it puts Cruz in the position of raising the unity question, which is one of the very few questions at this moment that implicates the viability and the winnability of the Trump campaign. Okay, so this is, I mean, on Monday night, we had, I was here Monday night,
yeah, right.
And we had Melania, and she gave a nice talk, and then it came out 3 a.m. that two big passages came from Michelle Obama.
Right, right.
And that created this controversy, and they still haven't really quelled that controversy. And now, before that's over, before Pence speaks, they've got this Cruz non-endorsement.
Does it matter, Charles? And I'll ask you this because, you know, there was the speech that Ted Cruz gave was about freedom. And he talked about all the different issues that are important to conservative Republicans, everything from tax. He mentioned religious freedom. He talked about free speech. He talked about the Second Amendment. He went down the list to every sort of, like you say, red meat thing. When he doesn't go for Donald Trump and there's that division, is he essentially saying that people that are for these issues, Donald Trump's not your candidate?
He didn't quite say that, but he implied it. He said, vote your conscience. What he was really saying is, I'm your candidate, and I don't know if Donald Trump is. And what we don't know, first of all, the one thing we know for sure is this is the story until Trump himself speaks. This story will dominate everything. What we don't know is the backstory. What we don't know is whether Trump and Cruz privately met, and Cruz asked for something, which could have been ideological, could have been an apology about his wife and father, could have been a lot of things.
Right, right, right.
We don't know that, but I'll tell you, the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal have reporters right now trying to figure out what led to this giant train wreck.
Now, as a consultant, as an analyst, as someone who's been involved in Republican politics, it's just not good. It's not good that Ted Cruz did this on the national stage when all of America's watching.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I mean, there's got to be some kind of accountability here at some point. Paul Manafort is supposedly the master of the convention, and he himself prolonged the Melania thing by not owning up to it the morning of by trying to deny the existence.
Yeah,
of
they
the
needed
issue.
To take a morning after pill there.
They really screwed that up. And now this, and it's not as though you can deny Cruz a place at the convention because he's got 550 delegates on that floor. But if he was going to pull this kind of stunt, if you didn't have an endorsement agreement with the guy, if you weren't clearing his copy, because at conventions, usually the copy gets cleared through the candidate's operation.
That's what I can't understand.
You put him on Monday at, you know, make him Monday at 7 o'clock at night.
Or four o'clock in the afternoon, something. I mean, something. Don't put him at right before your vice presidential candidate. that all of America is tuning in to watch.
Yeah, I just think this is huge news, and it will dominate. Yeah. And that's also unfortunate for the Republicans. So they've spent much of the convention cleaning up after mistakes, which were unforced errors. The one thing you can predict is that people are going to say, this shows when you haven't run a national campaign before, you're just not experienced at it. But let me just tell you, that's also Trump's strength.
Yeah.
If people thought that experienced insiders were doing a great job at running this country, Donald Trump wouldn't have gotten out of the starter's gate.
That's Charles Lipson. Chris Roebling's also in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll get to an update with Rob Martier in the news. And, of course, we expect to hear from Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence tonight, and we'll give you that speech. That's the RNC coverage here live on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Lots of great stuff coming in from our texters and phone on the phone from our listeners at WGN Radio about tonight's festivities at the Republican National Convention. Here's the download. We're talking about the RNC with Chris Roebling and Charles Lipson in studio with us as we get ready for what was supposed to be the main event, Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence, who's up next speaking at the Republican National Convention. How does his speech change? Obviously, the words aren't going to change, but what can he do to sort of take back the momentum that Ted Cruz kind of stole?
If if I were Paul Manafort and the people working backstage with Pence, what I would say is you want to drop in a paragraph in which you don't mention Cruz at all, but you mention some of the values and say, we've heard talk of X, Y, and Z, liberty and Second Amendment values, and down the list. And you say, and I want you to know, there's one person who's going to back them, and there's one person who's going to oppose them. And if you think that this is not a race between these two people, you are wrong. That's what he should come out and try to say.
They're listening right now at 720, and they're like, got to write this down.
I got to tell you something.
I'm stealing this.
They may have told Newt to take care of this, and maybe it's Newt who took care of it for Pence. And I think we got to understand, Newt got out there and he said, look, I want to draw your attention to a paragraph in Ted Cruz's speech. And he said, you go out there and support the people who support freedom, liberty, and the American way. And ladies and gentlemen, there is one guy running for president this year who is going to do all of that, and that is Donald Trump. And the crowd, you know, cheered that along. And maybe from the standpoint of Manafort, who's got some pretty big egg on his face right now, that was enough.
He's got a whole omelet, man.
Well, let me ask you, Trump, you know, there's thoughts of Donald Trump having some sort of role here to either introduce or come on after. Is he at all possibly going to take this on himself?
No.
Is Donald Trump disciplined enough to leave it alone?
Well, he absolutely is not going to mention it. It's not going to be at Trump's level.
Right,
can't be.
Tonight, you may hear sources close to Donald Trump say that a man with a bouffant hairdo is furious. You know. I think that this is a case where Trump really needs discipline because the worst thing that could happen from the Trump side, I'm just speaking analytically, is to make this a division with the man, not just the man who came in second, but all the people who were backing him.
Yeah, the delegates
and
the voters.
That's what's at stake.
Right. Well, I mean, let me ask both of you. I mean, both of you are Republican. Do you feel that Donald Trump has come around since winning the primary to represent the conservative values and ideals that Ted Cruz eloquently lined up when he talked about freedom in his speech?
Well, I'm conservative on fiscal and foreign policy issues and very liberal on social issues. I rather more identify as a Republican than a Democrat, but I'm not in any sense a party line kind of person.
That's why
Really not the person to ask on this. I haven't approached the election in a partisan way. In a lot of ways, I feel like Mikey in that cereal commercial who used to say he hates everything.
All right.
And I must say, in this election, I not only didn't like the two people who were nominated, I didn't like the two people on each side who came in second.
Mike Pence is taking the stage.
All right, so here we go.
Well, with that introduction to Mike Pence.
Mikey likes it. So Governor Mike Pence is taking the stage, introduced by Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. Let's go ahead and maybe we can bring it up. He's doing his little his applause and stuff like that.
Well, then let me just quickly say, I think Pence is a very big expression of Trump addressing the base of the Republican Party.
Right.
And the other big expression that we saw was his announcement about folks to put on the United States Supreme Court.
All right.
That's what's important. And that's
what I don't think Cruz is going to be on the court.
Let's do it. Governor Mike Pence, here we go.
Here and gone. I accept your nomination to run and serve as Vice President of the United States of America. And let me thank Speaker Paul Ryan for that gracious welcome. Paul, you're a true friend and a great American leader. But Paul knows me well, and he knows the introduction I prefer is just a little bit shorter. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. You know, I'm new to this campaign, and honestly, I never thought I'd be standing here. I thought I'd be spending this evening with all my friends from the great state of Indiana. Yet there I was, a few days ago in New York City, with the man who won 37 states, who faced 16 talented opponents and outlasted every one of them, and along the way brought millions of new voters into the Republican Party. You know, he's a man known for a large personality, a colorful style, and lots of charisma. And so I guess he was just looking for some balance on the ticket. Well, for those of you who don't know me, which is most of you, I grew up on the front row of the American dream. My grandfather immigrated to this country. I was raised in a small town in southern Indiana in a big family with a cornfield in the backyard. Although we weren't really a political family, the heroes of my youth were President John F. Kennedy and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. When I was young, I watched my mom and dad build everything that matters, a family, a business, and a good name. I was raised to believe in hard work, in faith, and family. My dad, Ed Pence, was a combat veteran in Korea. Dad ran gas stations in our small town, and he was a great father. If Dad were with us today, I'd have a feeling he'd enjoy this moment and probably be pretty surprised. But it's such a joy for me to tell you that my mother is here. Would you join me in welcoming the light of my life, my mom, Nancy? You know, growing up, I actually started in politics in the other party until I heard the voice on the ideals of the 40th president, and I signed on for the Reagan Revolution. But the best thing that ever happened to me, even counting tonight, is that 31 years ago, I married the girl of my dreams, a school teacher, an artist. She is everything to me. Would you welcome my wonderful wife, Karen Pence? And regardless of any title I'll ever hold, the most important job I'll ever have is spelled D-A-D. Karen and I are blessed. Karen and I are blessed to be the parents of the three greatest kids in the world. A writer named Charlotte, a college student named Audrey, and a second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps, Michael J. Pence. I'm so proud of you guys. Now, if you know anything about Hoosiers, you know we love to suit up and compete. We play to win. That's why I joined this campaign in a heartbeat. You have nominated a man for president who never quits, who never backs down, a fighter, a winner. Until now, he's had to do it all by himself against all odds. But this week, with this united party, he's got backup. And on November 8th, I know we will elect Donald Trump to be the 45th president of the United States of America. Now, we'll win because we're running on the issues facing this country and because we're leveling with the American people about the stakes and the choice. You know, the American people are tired of being told. They're tired of being told that this is as good as it gets. They're tired of hearing politicians in both parties tell us that we'll get to that tomorrow while we pile a mountain range of debt on our children and our grandchildren. And as Ronald Reagan used to say, they're tired of being told that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives better for us than we can plan them for ourselves. In the end, this election comes down to just two names on the ballot, so let's resolve here and now that Hillary Clinton will never become president of the United States of America. Now, Hillary Clinton essentially offers a third Obama term, and the role is perfect for her. She championed Obamacare because years earlier she had all but invented it. The national debt has nearly doubled in these 8 years, and her only answer is to keep borrowing and spending. And like the president, she thinks the path to a growing economy is more taxes, more regulation, and more government. Now, they tell us this economy is the best that we can do. It's nowhere near the best that we could do. It's just the best that they can do. And let me tell you, I know firsthand, it doesn't have to be like this. In my home state of Indiana, we prove every day that you can build a growing economy on balanced budgets, low taxes, even while making record investments in education and roads and health care. You know, Indiana is a state that works because conservative principles work every time you put them into practice. Today, while the nation suffers under the weight of $19 trillion in a national debt, we in Indiana have a $2 billion surplus, the highest credit rating in the nation, even though we've cut taxes every year since I became governor 4 years ago. We have fewer state employees than when I took office. And businesses large and small have created nearly 150,000 new jobs, and there's more Hoosiers going to work than ever before. That's what you can do with common sense Republican leadership, and that's exactly what the no-nonsense leadership of Donald Trump will bring to the White House. You know, Donald Trump gets it. He's the genuine article. He's a doer in a game usually reserved for talkers. And when Donald Trump does his talking, he doesn't tiptoe around the 1,000 new rules of political correctness. He's his own man. distinctly American. And where else would an independent spirit like his find a following than in the land of the free and the home of the brave? The funny thing is, you know, the funny thing is, the party in power seems helpless to figure out our nominee. The media has the same problem. They all keep telling each other that the usual methods will work against him. They keep thinking they've done him in, only to wake up the next morning and find that Donald Trump is still standing and running stronger than ever before. The man just doesn't quit. He's tough. He perseveres. He's gone about as far as you can go in business, but he's never turned his back on the working men and women who make this country grow. And Donald Trump will never turn his back on those who serve and protect us at home and abroad. You know, it's been a heartbreaking time for the women and men in our law enforcement community. And in this time of great testing for them, let's let them know, here and now, all across this country, we will always stand with those who stand on the thin blue line of law enforcement in America. Now, you know, while Donald Trump was taking my measure as a possible running mate, I did some observing myself. I've seen the way he deals with people who work for him at every level. And I've seen the way they feel about working for him. Now, I'll grant you he can be a little rough with politicians on the stage, and I'll bet we see that again. But I've seen this good man up close, his utter lack of pretense, his respect for the people who work for him, and his devotion to his family. And if you still doubt what I'm saying, remember, as we say back home, you can't fake good kids. How about his amazing children? Aren't they something? These are the true measures of our nominee, chosen by the voters as the right man for these times. This is the outsider, my running mate, who turned a long shot campaign into a movement. Now, over in the other party, you know, if the idea was to present the exact opposite of a political outsider, the exact opposite of an uncalculating truth teller, then on that score, you got to hand it to the Democratic establishment. They outdid themselves this time. I mean, at the very moment when America is crying out for something new and different, The other party has answered with a stale agenda and the most predictable of names. People in both parties are restless for change, ready to break free of old patterns in Washington. And Democrats are about to anoint someone who represents everything this country is tired of. You know, Hillary Clinton wants a better title, and I would too if I was already America's Secretary of the Status Quo. You know, the choice couldn't be more clear. Americans can elect someone who literally personifies the failed establishment in Washington, D.C., or we can choose a leader who will fight every day to make America great again. It's change versus status quo. And my fellow Republicans, when Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America, the change will be huge. You know, for years we've had fundamental problems in America that get talked to death in Washington, D.C., but they never get solved, and they even get worse. We've seen entire stretches of our country written off by bad economic policies in ways that are deeply unfair to American workers. We've seen relentless mandates from the executive branch. It seems like no aspect of our lives is too small for the present administration to supervise, and no provision of the Constitution is too large for them to ignore. Meanwhile, we've seen borders that go unrespected, a military that's been diminished, and promise after ringing promise to our veterans promptly forgotten. Then Donald Trump came along and started saying what practically everybody was thinking anyway, that our leaders need to be stronger. Under Donald Trump, our deals will be smarter. Our soldiers will have what they need, and our veterans will have what they earned. We will secure our borders, protect our nation. In all this, we will be more serious, and when we do, this nation will start winning again. You know, that's the message that men and women in both parties have been longing to hear. But none of us should think for one second that this will be easy. The outcome of this election depends on us and how we contend with an incredible onslaught that's coming our way. You know, this won't be America's first glimpse at the Clinton machine in action, as Bernie Sanders can tell you. And this time around, she'll have the press doing half her work for her. The good news is it won't be nearly enough. Not against a candidate who's captured the attention of the country the way Donald Trump has. On issue by issue, he and I will take our case to the voters, pointing out the failures of the Obama-Clinton agenda and showing a better way. We will win the hearts and minds of the American people with an agenda for a stronger and more prosperous America. Now, the establishment in Washington, D.C. thinks it's only a narrow range of voters who are giving Donald Trump a serious look. But I can tell you firsthand, there's a lot of Americans out there who feel like Democrat politicians have taken them for granted. It's union members who don't want a president who promises to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business. Those miners want an American energy policy, and they know that Donald Trump digs coal. It's African Americans who remember generations of hollow promises about safe streets and better schools, and they know Donald Trump will fight for equal opportunity, and he loves educational choice. And it's Hispanic Americans who respect the law, want jobs and opportunities for their families, who know that Donald Trump will uphold the law and get this economy moving for every American. You know, the party of Lincoln was founded on equality of opportunity. And during these difficult days, it will be our party and our agenda that opens the doors for every American to succeed and prosper in this land. You know, in so many ways, the Democratic Party has abandoned those it used to protect. Maybe they become too entrenched in power, so comfortable at times that they lose patience with the normal legislative process. It's so much simpler to impose their values by executive order or court action. And make no mistake about it, Hillary Clinton has some big ideas along those lines, too. As this election approaches, every American should know that while we're filling the presidency for the next 4 years, this election will define the Supreme Court for the next 40. We all better think very carefully about what this means for our Constitution and limited government. Elect Hillary Clinton, and you better get used to being subject to unelected judges using unaccountable power to take unconstitutional actions. So let me say, for the sake of the rule of law, for the sake of the sanctity of life, for the sake of our Second Amendment, and for the sake of all our other God-given liberties, we must ensure that the next president appointing justices to the Supreme Court is Donald Trump. And Hillary Clinton's record on foreign affairs gets even worse. You know, it was Hillary Clinton who helped undo all the gains of the troop surge, a staggering failure of judgment that set ISIS on the loose. It was Hillary Clinton who instigated the president's disastrous agreement with the radical mullahs in Iran. And it was Hillary Clinton who left Americans in harm's way in Benghazi, and after four Americans fell, said, "What difference at this point does it make?" As the proud father of a United States Marine, let me say from my heart, anyone who said that, anyone who did that, should be disqualified from ever serving as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the United States of America. Seven and a half years of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's policies have weakened America's place in the world. terrorist attacks at home and abroad, grim and heartbreaking scenes from France just a few short days ago, and the attempted coup in Turkey all attest to a world spinning apart. History teaches us that weakness arouses evil. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's foreign policy of leading from behind, moving red lines, feigning resets with Russia, and the rise, rule, and reign of ISIS are a testament to this truth of history. We cannot have four more years apologizing to our enemies and abandoning our friends. America needs to be strong for the world to be safe, and on the world stage, Donald Trump will lead from strength. Donald Trump will rebuild our military and stand with our allies. Donald Trump will confront radical Islamic terrorism at its source and destroy the enemies of our freedom. And if the world knows nothing else, it will know this: America stands with Israel. You know, if you looked at the calendar this morning, you might have noticed the presidency of Barack Obama ends exactly 6 months from today. This much is certain. This much is certain of the Obama years. They're not ending well. There seems to be so many things that divide us, so few great purposes that unite us as they once did. And it's at moments like this, moments when politics fail, that I believe we do well to remember that what unites us far exceeds anything that sets us apart in America. That we are, as we have always been, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Should I have the awesome privilege to serve as your vice president, I promise to keep faith with that conviction, to pray daily for a wise and discerning heart, for who is able to govern this great people of yours without it? My fellow Americans, I believe we have come to another rendezvous with destiny. And I have faith. Faith in the boundless capacity of the American people, and faith that God can still heal our land. But we have a choice to make. This is another time for choosing. If you want a president who will protect this nation, confront radical Islamic terrorism, and rid the world of ISIS. If you want a president who will restore law and order to this country and give law enforcement the support and resources they deserve, if you want a president who will cut taxes, grow our economy, and squeeze every nickel out of the federal bureaucracy, if you want a president who will build strong borders and enforce our laws, and if you want a president who will upend the status quo in Washington, D.C., and appoint justices to the Supreme Court who will uphold the Constitution, we have but one choice, and that man is ready. This team is ready. Our party is ready. And when we elect Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, together, we will make America great again. Thank you. And God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
So there you have it, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, Donald Trump's running mate, wrapping things up at the Republican National Convention, Justin.
All right. Thanks, Rob. And we'll pay close attention, too, because you want to see what Donald Trump does, as he will inevitably take the stage, I would assume, to do the handshake and the hug and the wave and all that kind of stuff before it's his turn to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ted Cruz won't be part of that group.
Charles Lipson in studio, Chris Roebling. Let's start with you, Charles. What did you think of that speech?
I thought it was a pretty straightforward laundry list, conservative kind of things. Dr. Samuel Johnson once said of Milton's Paradise Lost, none would have wished it longer. And that's kind of what I felt.
Here comes Donald Trump to the stage. He's doing the handshake business. He's off the mic, so that's good. He wants the mic so bad. He gets these, I want it, but he's not going to. It looks like he's going to follow tradition and shake some hands and be ready for tomorrow. Chris, what'd you think of the speech?
I think that you actually had a tremendous compilation of speeches tonight, and I think that Mike Pence gave probably the single most important conservative endorsement of Donald Trump of the entire campaign. I mean, Pence is up there as a link to the base of the party. And I think what you heard from Pence is every bit a Republican convention standard speech. But I think that he delivered it with some skill. And I think it was very well done. I think that he is a practiced. He's been a
politician for a long time now,
and he knows what he's doing right up there.
There were no unforced errors. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, you got to say that's a win for the Republican National
Convention. And I think also
he didn't
mention Ted Cruz. He's out there with the family now, and he didn't mention Cruz. And I think that's because actually Gingrich took care of Gingrich replaced the Cruz divot. But I still think the big news tonight is Cruz not endorsing
Trump.
No,
there's a giant sinkhole in the parking lot, and that sinkhole is Ted Cruz.
Charles Lipson, Chris Roebling in studio. We'll continue the conversation and wrap up. Really, we're going to talk with Congressman Holmgren from the Illinois delegation. Also, check back in with Andrea Darlis. We've got much more. We'll continue talking and wrapping up and reacting to the Republican National Convention. Day 3, let's take a break. Stay with us. This is 720 WGN. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you tonight till 11 o'clock when Patty Vasquez comes in, takes over. In studio with me, Professor Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, Chris Roebling as well. We're reacting and analyzing what we saw tonight at the Republican National Convention. Day 3, Make America First Again. All right, so why don't we go right to the phones? Congressman Randy Holmgren joins us now. He's from the Illinois delegation. He, of course, represents the 14th District. Congressman Holmgren, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Congressman Holmgren, you there? All right, there
Hello?
We go. I got you. Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Tell us,
Justin.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Tell us your reaction tonight to Governor Pence's speech.
Well, I thought it was a great speech. Very strong, very clear. Just a good focus on honesty, on the importance of this election, certainly for our security, but also for the importance of the Supreme Court, how this election, you know, clearly is going to impact the next 4 years, but the Supreme Court justices that are selected are going to impact the next 40 years. And just believe, again, Trump Pence is a really strong ticket. I knew Governor Pence. He and I served for a couple of years together out in Washington, and he was one of my mentors early on, and just an incredible man of character, man of faith, family man. You could hear that so clearly in his message tonight as well, that he loves this country and wants it to be a strong country for his kids and his grandkids as well.
Hi, Congressman. It's Chris Roebling. What about...
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, thanks. And you? And I want to know what you think about Ted Cruz not endorsing Donald Trump.
You know, it doesn't totally surprise me with Ted. I like Ted. You know, I like what he stands for. I don't always like the strategy that he has. I just don't always know that it moves the ball forward. But you know what? Each of us have to decide to do what we want to do. We'll see if it has long-term ramifications for him. You know, I think to me, what I take out of all of this is it's pretty cool, I think, that Trump invited people that weren't going to come out and endorse him. But I thought Newt Gingrich had kind of a nice spin on it of saying, hey, you know, Cruz didn't endorse, but he said, hey, vote for, get out and vote. You have no excuse not to vote, which I absolutely agree with. And he said, vote for the one who's going to support the Constitution, which is Trump Pence. So, you know, I think he kind of completed the circle there. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me completely with how Senator Cruz has handled things in the past and kind of certain things in the Senate. But again, each person has to make up their own decision of what they're going to do.
This is Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago.
Sure.
There's a step short of endorsement. You can. There are people who say, I'm going to vote for, but don't actually make a formal endorsement. He didn't say that either. And my question is not about Cruz. My question is about whether you think in swing states for Trump, those are different states than the traditional swing states, but swing states for Trump, this is going to present any difficulty. It really doesn't matter in Texas how much the Republican Party is unified. The Republicans win Texas. Will this hurt in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in North Carolina, in those kinds of states that are absolutely crucial for Trump to win the presidency?
Yeah, Professor, I just don't know. I don't think it will. You know, as we look at it, again, this is a different campaign than I ever expected we'd be seeing. You know, even 12 months ago, I had no idea that it would have gone this way. But you know what? We've heard over and over again how Donald Trump, with 16-17 people in the primary, still had the largest number of Republican votes of any Republican candidate ever in a primary. And it's been many times in these states that haven't necessarily been Republican states or strong hoped for states by Republican candidates. So I think you're right. I think there's going to be some states in play that wouldn't have been for any other candidate that are for Donald Trump and Mike Pence candidacy. Ultimately, it's you know, this is really the kickoff of the campaign. Those of us who are part of this feels like it's already gone on forever, but a lot of people just now are paying attention, and as we get into Labor Day and beyond, that's a decision people are going to have to be making. This is a pivotal election. You know, really, do we want Hillary Clinton? It's basically continuation of what we've had in the past. A lot of concerns, both Republicans and Democrats, about does she bring fresh ideas? Is she someone we can trust? Is she going to do things that keep us safe or make us safe? And then someone like a Donald Trump, where there's a little bit of unknown factor there, but he has proven himself in the work that he's done that he's someone who gets the job done. He speaks his mind. Sometimes we don't like that, but people want it. They want someone that's going to say what they mean and mean what they say and actually follow through on what they said they were going to do. And I think Donald Trump and I know Mike Pence are people that are going to do that.
So Congressman, are we getting, and I say we because you and I are both Republicans, and of course Professor Lipson is it kind of does his own thing, as professors do, and Justin is a host.
That's why we have tenure, so, my friend.
That's right. But you and I are real Republicans here, and are we getting from this convention what we need to win in November? And specifically, is it not, and I know you were there until today, I guess you flew back today, yeah, but is this not a second edition of Tampa, which I think was the worst convention of my probably my entire life?
Good question.
Yeah, I think it is a good question, too, and I think it's too early to tell. You know, again, this is a different election than I've ever seen in my lifetime. I pay attention to these things. I care about these things. This is just a whole different time. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But I do think people are paying attention. It's one of the things that frustrates me so much over the years. We see low voter turnout. You know, we see apathy among people. A lot of people who say, I'm not voting. It doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. You don't hear that this year. I think people are engaged. They feel strongly. Sometimes, you know, what's motivating them the most to support a candidate is because they dislike the other candidate so much. So it's interesting. I think out of this convention, my hope is that we will be a little bit more unified, that, you know, this is a process forward. You don't expect to come out lockstep. That's part of our party as well, Chris. Huh. You know it. We're independent thinkers. We let people, we kind of celebrate that of, hey, think for yourself. We don't need government to tell us how to think. We can think for ourselves. And I think people are going to analyze that, make that decision of who they think the ticket, the administration that would best serve to get this economy growing again, to make sure that we're safe, to put Supreme Court justices in that really respect the Constitution and reflect our values. I think these are all important decisions that the American people are going to have to make going forward. I'm hopeful. I mean, I think even looking at poll numbers, it's going to be a close election. And I think Governor Pence hit it on the head at the end of his speech that this is going to be tough. This is going to be a battle. And we're going to have to make sure we're engaged. And the good news is people are paying attention.
Congressman Randy Hultgren of the 14th District of Illinois, part of the Illinois delegation. Congressman, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Justin. Great to be with you guys. Have a great night.
All right. There you go.
There was an interesting point about whether the convention, Chris raised a really good question. Is this a convention that does what it needs? Convention has to do two things. Convention has to rally the party. Convention has to make a case to the country. I think that they've muddled the case. I think that the case ought to be, are you safer now than you were 7 years ago?
Well, that's good.
Are you better off economically than you were 7 years ago? If you think you are, go with the status quo. If not, go for a change.
Charles Lipson, Chris Roebling in studio. We'll take a break. We'll get the news. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation, wrapping up the RNC coverage here at 720 WGN. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, wrapping up some coverage of the Republican National Convention. Day three, Chris Roebling and Charles Lipson in studio.
Yes.
A tremendous night as we kind of get up to speed here, as now the speeches are done. I mean, we're caught up on business. But, I mean, if you're the newspaper tomorrow morning, if people still do that, where they throw the newspaper on your doorstep at 5 in the morning, what's the headline?
The headline for me is Ted Cruz doesn't endorse Donald Trump. I mean, that's huge news. Normally, conventions like this are pretty tightly scripted, but this whole year has been unscripted. Nobody thought Trump would get this far. Nobody thought that all the establishment candidates would go down and go down early. Everybody thought that coming out, that Trump would be a three-month candidate and then gone. When he didn't go, they thought everybody's running for the second spot or another lane, which was going to be the establishment lane. The last two people standing were Donald Trump, a one-off kind of character, and Ted Cruz, who represented the kind of conventional, a social conservative and fiscal conservative hardline constitutionalist position, and
the establishment was nowhere to be found.
And the establishment was nowhere to be found. This is a really interesting political year.
And an underreported story is the fact that Trump, in the run-up to the convention, especially in the last 2.5-3 weeks, has become embraced by the establishment. I mean, a lot of establishment figures. Now, this isn't stuff that's on the front page of the paper, but he has met with a lot of establishment folks, and that's why establishment Republicans, and that's why that Democrat former general is out as vice president, and that's why we've got Mike Pence as vice president, and that's why you've got Trump sort of signaling that he's going to play ball. Okay, but then and we have to say, maybe you attribute it to Trump's leadership, that he still has Cruz come in and he still gives Cruz the microphone and the lectern for a 25-30 minute speech.
You mentioned it. I mean, there is no situation in which that speech has not been vetted. I mean, everybody from the campaign, the convention, they know. Does Ted Cruz change it at the last minute?
No. Look, the way I would see it, and I'm speaking as an outsider here, is he had enough votes that it would be very, very costly for Trump to say you don't get a speaking position in a prominent place. He won a lot of states.
Right.
He came in number two. And so you have to ask yourself, what does Trump have to negotiate with him that would get him to do something positive for Trump? And I don't know what the behind-the-scenes story is, and we're going to learn that over the next few days. It may be that Ted Cruz was angered about the personal attacks. It may be that he felt Donald Trump wasn't conservative enough. But there must have been a behind-closed-doors meetings, and Ted Cruz didn't come out of that satisfied.
All right, let's go to Andrea Darlis, WGN Radio. She is at the Quicken Loan Center in Cleveland, Ohio. Andrea, big night tonight. From your perch, how was the speech with how was the reaction to the to Governor Pence's speech?
You know, the reaction to Governor Pence's speech was actually great. I have to say, I was way up at the top for both from the Cruz speech to the Gingrich speech, all the way up to the Pence speech. And the Gingrich speech went a lot longer than I thought it would. But the Pence reaction was great. And did you guys catch the fake air kiss at the end?
No.
Yeah, I mean, social media, I saw it.
Right.
Between Trump and
everywhere
Pence.
Too.
Yeah, right.
You know, I also saw a tweet. Now, I didn't see this because I was pretty high up for the latter half of the evening. But I saw a tweet that Heidi Cruz was escorted out of the Q Center with a lot of security because of the booze that her husband got. Now, again, the Twitterverse is its own realm. But that's a tweet that I did see, and I didn't witness that, but I thought, huh.
Well, you know, the microphones for us, I mean, they did the broadcast that we played. I mean, obviously the microphones are from the stage, and the New York delegation was right up front, and it was pretty raucous. Like, they were getting that. You could feel the fervor of the, you know.
And speaking of which, it goes back to 64 and Nelson Rockefeller, who was booed in the 64 convention because, of course, he was leading the Never Goldwater, essentially the Never Goldwater.
And it felt a little 68 with Mayor Daley and the
Abraham Ribicoff.
Oh, yeah.
The great Abraham Ribicoff.
Andrea, like, I mean, as people, we were just kind of, I asked Charles, I asked Chris in studio, just if they were newspaper editors, what would be the headline? For you being in the stadium there, you know, as part of the convention, what do you think the headline is tomorrow for the news?
The headline's absolutely going to be the Ted Cruz booze, number one, and number two, the air kiss. Only because I know how social media takes off these days. I'm telling you guys, when I walked out into that 4th Street corridor, I actually met up with Rowan Anna and Jeff Carlin, their producer.
Oh.
And that was the first part of the discussion.
The air kiss is not going to be. But the Cruz, it's got to be Cruz booed after
booze,
non-endorsement.
For sure.
Yeah.
Not even so much a non-endorsement. I think they said that he mentioned Donald Trump's name one time.
He did at the beginning.
He congratulated Trump on winning the nomination.
Yeah, he didn't even say he was voting for him.
Right.
Well, I mean, for you, I mean, obviously today was the big powerhouse day, but tomorrow, I mean, it's on for Donald Trump. It's his day to shine.
I got to tell you something. I, I, I don't know, Andre, if you heard any of this. We had Randy Hultgren, the congressman from the far west suburbs, on, and I asked him, Republican to Republican, are we getting what we need out of this? And he said, well, I'm not really sure. We don't know yet, which was, you know, kind of made my knees buckle. But in any case, I want to say, as a Republican, I don't hear it yet. And this is what I mean. This is one element of what I mean. Somebody has got to stand up in front of that convention, and they have to say the following. I want every one of you to understand that if you go back home after this convention with this nominee for president and Mike Pence for vice president, and you do what you did last time, Hillary Clinton is going to be the 45th president of the United States. You have got to go home. Every one of you, you have to go home, and you've got to find another 150 people, another 250 people. You got to get people involved.
I guess here's a great question for you, Andrea, being in the room and even being up in the nosebleeds. Do you feel that the speech, I mean, we talked about unity and you're hearing from people that they're united, but are they motivated? Are people excited?
Oh, no.
Are you feeling the energy?
No, I mean, I'm feeling the energy because it's the RNC and it's in Cleveland, and this is what each party does. But there's a clear lack of unity, is I guess how I would put it.
Really?
You know, what I would call it? A reluctant unity. Because they, you know, the Republicans at this point, at least this is my perception and my perspective from what I saw tonight, everyone's trying to come together. It's a reluctant unity because they realize this is their candidate. They have to get behind him for the betterment of the party. But are they happy about it? No.
Well, Andrea, you've got a big day tomorrow. You've got the Illinois delegation. You've got to check in with Steve and the show in the morning. Thanks for staying up tonight and giving us an update.
Are you sleeping in a broom closet at the Q Center? I mean, you know, how do you do this?
I'm hopping an Uber with Anna DeVlantis right now.
There you go.
So I'm going to
give Anna our best. Say hi to her for all three of us.
I will.
Okay.
I will, and we love you guys, and we'll check in with you tomorrow.
All right. Well, Andrea Darlis from Cleveland.
She's the hardest working woman in broadcasting. Get that woman a raise.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up our coverage tonight of the Republican National Convention. Day 3, it's 720 WGN. Stay with us. It's a download here. Wrapping up, Patty Vasquez comes up next. Pretty late with Patty Vasquez. In studio with me, Charles Lipson and Chris Roebling. They've been here all night. They're troopers. They're going to be back tomorrow night for the big event, Donald Trump live from the Republican National Convention. And you can hear the speech, analysis, reaction, and all of it here on 720 WGN. The takeaway from tonight, we already said Ted Cruz. The one thing that I thought Andrea said best was reluctant unity.
Which is to say, not full unity. And we've said several times during the evening that you need more than 90% of the votes of the true loyalists in your own party, the people who already identify. And I think that's going to be an uphill struggle for Donald Trump. So I think that's one of the issues. I think there was a second muddle to the convention so far. I think that they have missed nailing their two biggest issues. Are you safer now at home and internationally than you were 8 years ago? Are you better off in terms of your economic future and that of your children than you were 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't, vote for us. We promise change on those issues. If you think you're doing better, vote for the status quo. And they ought to nail that. They promised to nail it, and they didn't.
Yeah, so far I think that the convention is not giving the Republicans out across the country what the Republicans need, and that is a clear reason to do more, a lot more, than they did 4 years ago. If rank-and-file precinct Republicans do not get out of their comfort zone of whatever it was that they did to support Romney— then we're going to see the same result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to get this guy over the top. Let's leave aside the issue. Did we want him? Did we want Marco? Did we want Ted? Who? Scott Walker,
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
That's all ancient history now. He's it. And what are you going to do different this time to put him over the top?
Well, Donald Trump is now tweeting out. Pete's got it. Pete, what did Donald Trump say tonight about the Ted Cruz fiasco?
9 minutes ago, Donald Trump tweeted, "Wow, Ted Cruz got booed off the stage, didn't honor the pledge. I saw his speech 2 hours early, but let him speak anyway. No big deal."
Hmm. What do you think of
8,000
retweets and likes? Yeah. What do you think of that response from Donald Trump?
I think that Trump is showing a little bit of class there, actually. I think that Trump is getting above it. Trump's getting beyond it. And I think that Ted Cruz cannot get around the fact that he pledged to support the Republican nominee. And at his moment to say that he was supporting the Republican nominee,
he
came up short.
The Republican base has rejected the Republican leadership. And what you see now is that the old leadership and some of the traditional conservatives in the party are rejecting the nominee. So there is a deep cleavage.
Yeah,
I must say there is a deep cleavage in the Democratic Party. And we will see that next week,
and
too.
We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, because you're going to see a different – I mean, it's Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, but Bernie Sanders has already taken the stage with Hillary Clinton and said he endorses her. So when he goes to the stage and he puts the focus on Trump and he says he endorses it and he's emphatic, he's going to put a little emphasis on that. Is that going to make Ted Cruz look better or worse? I think it makes him look worse.
It's going to make him look worse.
Yes, absolutely, Chris is right. I would also say Ted Cruz, if any of this looks as if it's personal as opposed to a kind of deeply political, Ted Cruz is going to be just covered in muck. And if it looks as if the Republican nominee didn't win because Republican elected officials undercut the nominee, Ted Cruz is going to be covered in muck, not in glory.
Yeah, Cruz is beginning to look like one of the insiders against whom he has positioned himself, not just for his service in the Senate, but for his candidacy for the presidency. He said, look, there are all these Mitch McConnell insiders. He stood on the floor of the Senate.
Right, he was an outsider.
He said, these guys, they say one thing and they do another. Mitch McConnell said we would get a vote on our amendment, and we just learned that we're not getting a vote. They're ramming it down our throat. Okay, so now what does he do? He goes out and he says, I don't know, 10 months ago, I pledge hereby to support the nominee. Then when it comes time to do it, at personal cost, no question about it, he doesn't come through. Well, now he's looking like one of those insiders.
But let me ask you this. Because, you know, you hear all this flip-flop kind of thing that you know, what some candidate said 3 years ago. Ted Cruz wants a political future. He's eyeing 2020, you know, maybe 2024. But the point being that he's eyeing it, and he knows that, you know, if he's going to run on a conservative platform, a conservative Republican platform, it's going to look bad if he just goes up in the Republican committee or convention in 2016 and goes, Donald Trump's our guy. He made his case for the country. He made an eloquent speech about freedom, whether you like that or not. And he just stopped short of playing the game.
His speech was a great speech.
He had a great speech.
Until people got toward the end, you could hear in the crowd there was a real question. And it's the bottom of the ninth, and he said, I'm going to hit a homer in some other game. And you just heard a lot of people in the crowd. I'm not speaking as an advocate for one side or another. I'm just saying that you heard a lot of Republicans. There's going to be a lot of blowback around this.
There is going to be a lot of blowback. Republicans do not go for this kind of thing. He has injured his brand. He's injured the definition that he's worked so hard to create.
His defense of himself is that I am a principled conservative. Donald Trump has not proven himself to be. And I am not going to endorse somebody who does not stand up for this principle, that principle, and so forth. But that's why Mike Pence and Newt Gingrich coming out tried to successfully push back, and I think successfully, that he's just got it wrong.
Well, Scott Walker did a phenomenal job
tonight.
Scott Walker, we could be talking about Scott Walker. We could be talking about Mike Pence. Instead, we're talking about Ted Cruz. Yeah, but I can tell you, for the Republicans at home watching tonight, Scott Walker is on his way to serious consideration in the future, and I think Ted Cruz has severely limited his options.
I will say this, Chris, on Touche on Monday, you said the Republicans are not very good at this, at putting on conventions and shows. This is not our forte. It's Wednesday night. It almost, I mean, you kind of called it. I mean, there is a lot of tripping and falling and falling off top of each other. Now, Donald Trump, could save it.
It all depends on the Thursday night speech, but let's see how they react tomorrow morning. I am going to sit here tonight. I don't think I'm going out on a limb. They are going to be excoriating Cruz. And they're going to be saying, you know, the guys who are not happy about Trump, some of them had the dignity not even to show up. But Cruz came here at Trump's request, and he failed to deliver his part of that.
This is looking too much like mud wrestling and not enough like a coherent convention.
Charles Charles Lipson, University of Chicago political science professor. Chris Roebling, the better half of Touche, that you can hear every Monday here on The Download. You guys back tomorrow night. We will continue tomorrow night as we give you live.
Touche.
Give you the live presentation of Donald Trump speaking at the Republican National Convention.